The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you don't believe in the Creator and you're expecting something pleasant to happen at the end of your life, I suggest you think again. You could end up buried in the grave with your corpse, stuck in the crematorium oven, or else haunting one of your friends or relatives. Not pleasant, whichever way you look at it. If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" Again, if you believed at some arbitrary level some time ago and you've carried on living as though the Almighty does not exist, why would you expect something pleasant to happen at the end of your life? What have you done to deserve that? On the other hand, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge: a glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus. That's the objective. That's what we're here for. The Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." This program is intended to challenge you to seek that relationship. Today we're talking about judgment in this life. It's a continuation of last week's broadcast. Overview of today's broadcast, Judgment in This Life. The broadcast discusses the subject of judgment in this life for believers. It also responds in detail to a number of matters arising from last week's broadcast. In particular, it addresses the question of whether there is a move of Yah taking place at this time. It also looks at the question of why Yeshua, Jesus, is not coming soon. I then share the UK blessing, a sung prayer and blessing that is very powerful and anointed, and I then make some observations. We then return to the subject of judgment in this life and resume where we left off last week. The question is posed, so what should you do? The subject that we're not glove puppets is then discussed, and it is noted that we're accountable. We then note that highly anointed ones also make mistakes and sin. And finally, we examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, a strategic management consultant and business executive. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Questions from last week's program. Francis asked, is this still the same part of the teaching we were on, or did we start a new place? Francis, basically, I have taught on the subject before. This is a continuation, though, follow-on to the series on hell. And this is dealing with how you avoid ending up in hell, in a sense, by asking for judgment, being judged in this life. If you're judged in this life, so if you have sin in this life and you're judged for that sin, then you're not going to go to hell for that at the end of your life. Ruth asked basically the same question. Is this a follow-up from another or just a catch-up for those who've not heard? Ruth, I would say it's a follow-up, not really a catch-up for those who've not heard. Mary asked, do you know if you've cleaned things up enough? Mary, as you grow in your relationship with Father, you will know that you've dealt with the things that need to be dealt with. The cleaning process typically will take years of concerted effort. You'll find that you think you've dealt with something, and then you'll read something or somebody will say something, and you'll suddenly get a flashback to some sin that you committed years ago, and you just quickly repent. So, Father, I recall that I did this and this to such and such a person when I was living at this address, and I now realize that sin. I confess it as sin. I repent, and I ask you to forgive me. That's all it takes. Just own it, repent of it. Lester asks, that is a lot of servant. Why did that happen? Lester, I'm sorry, I'm not sure that I understand your question. Please, could you ask the question again or phrase the question a bit differently? And I will certainly answer it next week. Amy asked, how do we know if we're doing right all the time? Amy, the key thing here is to grow in your relationship with the Father. It's absolutely vital that you get to a place where you can hear him, where you know his will, where he can correct you if you're wrong, and you're obedient to him when he corrects you. He's not going to keep telling you you're wrong if you don't do anything about it. If you read the article, Seven Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty, and put into practice everything that's in that article, it's on the website and the menu near the bottom. It's also, if you go to the podcasts about 6 months ago, I did 9 broadcasts on that subject. If you put that into practice and you get close to the Father, you will know that you are getting things right progressively. But it does take years. Naomi asked, aren't the demons all over lots of things? How can we avoid them all the time? Naomi, the place is crawling with demons. There are 100 billion demons on the planet. Okay, some of them are in coffins and some of them at the bottom of the sea and some of them in crematorium ovens, but there's a hang of a lot. There have been a hang of a lot of unbelievers, 100 billion, over 100 billion. So there are a lot of demons to go around, and if you've got sin in your life, you will have demons. The issue is not whether you will have demons. The question is, unless you have really cleaned up your life to a serious level and prayed the necessary prayer and got rid of the demons, you will have demons. If you're a believer, the forces of darkness will take every opportunity to put demons on you. It's up to you to take authority over those demons and get rid of them. Avery asked, do you go to judgment right away, or can you get a taste of heaven before judgment? Avery, you're taken into the judgment hall for your judgment before you go to hell. I'm not sure that that's really a taste of heaven. I think you will see how glorious it is. But I think also when you realize that you are going to be judged and going to go to hell for a while, you'll probably be not be paying too much attention to what you see there. But yes, you do go to heaven before you go to hell to pay the price of unconfessed sin. And if you have no unconfessed sin, you'll go to heaven and stay there. Last week, somebody asked me if a move was taking place, and I said no. Somebody asked me how I could say that, since there is definitely things happening. There may be what appears to be a move at present, but it is in the names of Jesus, God, the Lord, the cross, Sunday, Bible, etc. Most of the people in this move are believing unbelievers who worship Jesus in the Bible. So the move that's taking place at the moment is, in fact, I'm sorry to say it, but it's a counterfeit. In fact, it's a satanic move. Yes, there are anointed ones involved, and therefore there is, at times, a genuine anointing, because Father Yar is obliged to show up wherever believers gather. A real move will be with regard to the true names and true relationship. We're not there yet. We're working towards it. It is so important to realize that all grace was withdrawn prior to the 3rd of May 2003, when Satan was sentenced to 1,000 years in the pit. It's also important to understand that any genuine move today will see dramatic and powerful binding of the satanic and demonic realm by powerful believers who are living beyond sin. Folks, I can't stress it enough. We've grown up, I'm 66, if you're my sort of age, we grew up before Satan was sent to the pit. Our experience of religion, of Christianity, Islam, Judaism, was before Satan was sent to the pit. In order for Satan to be sent to the pit, all the grace for people using the wrong names was withdrawn, and now Father does not answer to Jesus or God or the Lord or the cross or Sunday or Bible. He just doesn't answer you. So the satanic realm and the demonic realm have come up with all sorts of ways of counterfeiting. So it seems that the Almighty is moving. It's horrible. And I just ask you, please, to really realign your thinking on this. It's also asked whether it was necessary to stress at the end of last week's message that Jesus is not coming soon. I was told that it was a very negative way to end the message. And yes, simplistically, that point might have been better handled elsewhere. But that is what I was impressed to say at the last minute. I suddenly found myself with a minute to spare, and that was the message that was given to me. As I experienced it, Father is really upset about supposedly strong believers continuing to expect Jesus soon instead of getting on and doing the hard work of making Yah's enemies a footstool for Yeshua. If we look at Hebrews 1:13 in the Protestant Bible, Hebrews 1:13, Hebrews 10:13, Psalm 110:1, Luke 20:43, Acts 2:35, Mark 12:36. Yah the eternally self-existing, you may know him as the Lord, said to my Adonai, in other words, Lord, but that's the wrong name, referring to Yeshua, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. This refers to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah on true believers who will do the work of Yah. So what that's actually saying is that the believers anointed with the Spirit of Yah, led by the Spirit of Yah, must make Yeshua and Yah's enemies Yeshua's footstool in order for him to return. Jesus is not coming soon. And I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. The fact is that Satan has only been in the pit for 17 years, Revelation 21:3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little. So a long time before Yeshua comes, if he comes at all. I want to share with you the UK blessing. You may have heard it. It's a powerful prayer. It's worth listening to. It's based on Numbers 6:23 to 25. Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, may Yah the eternally self-existing, in the song they use, the Lord, bless you and keep you. May Yah the eternally self-existing cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you.
and be gracious to Lord Taylor's face toward you
and keep you peace.
The Lord bless you and keep you,
make his face shine upon you
and be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face toward you
and give you peace.
May the peace that surpasses all understanding be your message. Grace and favors in your nature, in your essence.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family.
He is for you. 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 He is for
This is a really powerful prayer and blessing. I hope you've it moved you the way it moved me the first time I heard it and subsequently. It's worth listening to regularly. There's a strong anointing on it. It's worth praying over yourself and your family. This was recorded by people from 65 churches around the United Kingdom during the lockdown a few weeks ago. And it's a really powerful example of what can be done by people who are moved to do things in the name of the Almighty. It's gone viral. Sadly, it's done in the name of the Lord and not the name of Yah, so a lot of the power is lost. And tragically, Father said to me that only 20% of the approximately 65 people who you heard singing there are true believers who have some level of relationship with him. In other words, of the 65 or so people, only about 13 have a real relationship with the Father. The rest of them have a relationship with Jesus or God or the Lord, but if they were to die today, they would not go to heaven. It's tragic. It's so horrible. And I urge you, if you don't have a deep relationship with Father, now is the time to seek it, please, for his sake, for your sake. It's so important that people learn the truth about the names and the identity of Yeshua and the truth about the Bible and come to worship Yah only. Think about it. If your life partner insisted on calling you by the name of your worst enemy, how would you feel? The Lord is an accurate translation of Baal, the pagan, demonic God. How can we call him the Lord? His name is Yah. Jesus means blessed of Zeus, another pagan, demonic God. How can we call him Jesus? His name is Yahushua, which means Yah is salvation. I appeal to you, please change your beliefs, change your language, and seek a deep relationship with Father Yah. Returning to judgment in this life, Yah sits on a throne. Yeshua is our advocate. Satan is the accuser. There is a court in heaven, and judgments are constantly handed down. Loss, lack, illness, accidents, premature death in the life of a believer, and even sometimes in the lives of unbelievers, are at some level a direct consequence of a judgment in the court of heaven. The satanic realm bring an accusation. Joe believer is in adultery. We want a sentence of death. Yeshua, the advocate, says, Joe is a young believer. I ask for mitigation of sentence. Yah says, let him break a leg. The satanic realm goes out and arranges for Joe to have an accident. Whether it is cancer, a burglary, or financial lack, there is a similar court process that is required for that thing to happen. It is vital to understand this, and once a judgment is experienced, to seek guidance from Yah, confess, repent, and clean up so there is no further judgment. Once you understand judgment in this life, it is no longer becomes a matter of casual discretion as to whether you clean up your life and live according to the commandments and precepts of Yah. Important to understand, if you are judged for sin in this life, you will not be judged for that same sin in the life to come. In March 2013, I wrote about judgment in this life, and I've shared a lot of that article in the previous broadcast. at the time that I wrote the article, I wrote, I continue to encounter believers who do not understand that there is judgment in this life and that nothing will go wrong in their lives other than through their own foolishness, laziness, negligence, or sin. In this broadcast, I will continue to give you the basis of judgment in this life and give advice on how to avoid such judgment. In the last broadcast, I built a step-by-step picture of the courtroom of heaven and how it operates so that you are no longer unsure of how things go wrong in your life and what to do about it. So, what should you do? It is vital to understand that when things go wrong in your life, no matter what, you and only you are ultimately responsible for what happens. You can either ignore the judgment, or you can use language that imputes power to Satan and his cohorts, or you can have a pity party, or whatever. Or you can take responsibility for what has happened, get on your knees before Yah and ask him what you have done or not done that has opened the door to that judgment. In the middle of the year before writing this article, I tripped and fell in front of about 50 people while walking through a conference venue. I was carrying a computer, video camera, and tripod all slung over my shoulder and could do nothing to stop the fall. I landed full length on my chest and was seriously wounded and bruised in various places. I struggled to walk for several days because of the pain in my hip. My cell phone screen was shattered. I was humiliated in front of a large group of people who were going to hear me speak a short while later. I could have blamed the person who was responsible for the stand that I tripped over. Instead, I took it as a judgment, and when I got home, I got on my knees and asked Yah why this had happened. He told me I was allowing pride to creep into my heart, and it was affecting my behavior. I repented and course-corrected. Folks, this is so important. Once you're a believer, the forces of darkness will do anything they can to sideline you, disempower you, weaken you, cripple you, particularly if you're starting to make an impact, and they will use judgment in this life to get at you. If you are not making an impact, if you're not making a difference, they'll probably leave you alone because you're not leading others into the right way. But the minute you start to really make a difference, the minute you start to really commit yourself, you need to make sure that you clean up your life. So what will you choose to do? Will you seek and welcome Yah's judgments as always just and fair and merciful? Or will you continue in your own strength to avoid Yah's judgments and to moan and complain and give Satan glory when you sin? If you choose to become sensitive to judgment in your life, then the first thing you should do whenever anything goes wrong is get on your knees before Yah to seek instruction as to your sin and what correction is necessary. Repent, ask for and receive forgiveness in the name of Yeshua. Course correct and continue. Course correction may require that you apologize to people you have wronged, return with interest and penalties things you have stolen, come clean with people you have lied to, cut off adulterous relationships, change your language, etc., etc. Note that judgments tend to correlate with your sin. So if you've stolen from someone, then it is likely that the judgment will relate to someone stealing from you. Many years ago, when I'd recently made an intense commitment to serve Yah, he showed me through a dream that a former employee was going to steal from me, and then told me that he could not protect me because I had stolen goods in my possession. He required me to take some items I'd removed from the university when I was a student and return them openly to the university and confess that I'd stolen them before Yah was able to protect me against my disaffected former employee. Folks, this is so important. You can't just do something wrong, negatively impact someone else, and just say, I'm sorry, and think that it'll all go away. You have to make right. You have to make restitution. And that can be as simple as just phoning them up and saying, look, I'm terribly sorry what I told you last year about such and such. It was an outright lie. And I apologize for the damage that's done and I ask you to forgive me or whatever it is that's necessary. In conclusion, the basis of judgment in this life has been set out. Things that go wrong in our lives are entirely the consequence of our own actions. Will you accept responsibility for your actions? Or will you duck and dive Yah's judgments and get a nasty shock on the day of judgment? Folks, it's so important to realize that when you die as a believer and you come before the judgment seat, you're going to get a replay of every single unconfessed, unrepented of sin in your entire life. You can either wait for that, get a nasty shock, go to hell, and have a terrible time, as we've discussed in the last few programs, or you can sit down, clean up your life now. The series on seven components of drawing close to the Creator, the section on cleansing, has got a whole process whereby you sit down with a pad, write up a year per page, and then go through each year that you can recall and fill in any sins, any lies, any relationships, any people you need to make right with, what have you. And you go through that, and you go through that, and you go through that, and you clean up. And over time, other things will come to mind. So you may find for months, years, you are cleaning up, but eventually you will get clean. In April 2011, I wrote an article, "You are not a glove puppet, you are accountable." And this ties into judgment in this life. It's the same thing. Realizing that you are fully accountable for what you do. I regularly encounter believers, including strong believers, who use language like God is in control, or Yah is in control, or there's a perfect plan, or whatever. Language would imply that they are entirely submitted to Daddy Yah and that he is controlling their lives every step of the way. The same belief is inherent in the belief that the Bible is the inerrant word of God and that Father dictated to Moses, or Moshe, what was going to happen after Moses' death so that he could complete the five books widely ascribed to him before he died. Folks, it's just not true. Those books were written by other people after Moses died. A necessary part of such a belief is that every step of the way a person's life is ordered by or ordained by or controlled by Yah. By implication, we are all then glove puppets or marionettes controlled every step of the way by an all-seeing, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God who planned all things before the creation of the earth. And therefore my sin, my disobedience, etc., is all foreordained and appointed by Yah for some weird and perverse stage show where he demonstrates his ability to manipulate and control human beings. Folks, it's an insult to Yah. It's absolutely not truth. There is no divine plan for your life. Yah has objectives for your life. He wants you to achieve certain things, but it's up to you to do it. Otherwise, why would there be a reward in heaven if you're just going to be a glove puppet? And then some glove puppets are ordained to sit on high thrones, and other glove puppets are designed to spend eternity in the outer darkness. It's unjust. It's unfair. It's just not true. It's far from the truth. It is Satan who aspires to control our every move and uses the billions of messengers or angels and billions of demons under his control to manipulate us and control us, or try and manipulate us and control us. That is, we are mostly under the control of the satanic and demonic dominions, thrones, principalities, and powers that seek to achieve total control of the earth. The fact of the matter regarding Yah is entirely the opposite. We are not glove puppets or marionettes. Yah created us with a free will that we might choose to serve him and do his will or not. Fact is that even the most strongly anointed seldom do all Yah's will all the time. In fact, most seldom do Yah's will at all. And in actual fact, even the satanic and demonic realm has difficulty controlling human beings. But the people who serve Satan deeply, the witches, the warlocks, the Satanists, are in some measure strongly controlled by demons. The rest of people just mess around, muddle around, don't know what's happening, think that they're in control, Folks, your life is your life. You will make it what it is, success or failure. You will determine whether you sit on a high throne for eternity or not. Not you, not me, not anyone else, you personally. I can't stress this enough. It's so hurtful and so insulting to you to make out that he's got it all worked out and you just have to do your bit and be there. No, he has a plan for your life. It's up to you to know what that plan is and to execute that plan. One of the conversations I quite regularly had with Yah at the time of writing this article related to the next steps in issues of relationships, etc. Frequently he would say to me, "You know, I do not know what they are going to do next, and you are human. You may have a better idea of what they're going to do next than I do." He also used to say to me, "James, you are not a glove puppet." But that is sacrilege, I hear you cry. No. We have to choose. We have to listen for Yah's still small voice. We have to weigh up the options, make the decisions, and then we have to act on those decisions. Else the day of judgment is a farce. So we must be sufficiently submitted to Yah by his Spirit so that we pray his will into existence on the earth. It is our responsibility to tear down the principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions, to bind and cast out the demons, to loose the captives, etc. We do this by Yah's Spirit, his anointing on us, his words through us, his authority in the name of Yahshua, if we are submitted and yielded to him and obedient and listening clearly, and so forth. I really encourage you to take charge in your life. If you are sitting back saying, "Well, Yah's got it all worked out, Yah's got a plan," please know that he only has a plan to the extent that you are obedient to that plan. He's not going to overrule people and make other people do things and give you money. He will cause you to get wisdom to get wealth. He will give you favor with other people. But you have to go out there. You have to sell. You have to do whatever it is you have to do in order to accomplish his will in your life. Most of the time, the vast majority of us are not sanctified, not hearing clearly, not focused on doing his will, not submitted, not in any meaningful way really aligned with him. And yet still we claim that he's in control of our lives and will bring us the right husband or wife or job or whatever. And then we get angry with him when it does not work, notwithstanding the fact that we messed up the relationship, that we got to work late, etc. We all need to take responsibility for what we think, what we say, what we do, and so forth. In conclusion, I strongly recommend that you review your thoughts and beliefs and see where you are abdicating your responsibility to serve Yah effectively obedient all the days of your life, and deal with whatever you need to deal with, including praying prayers for guidance and direction and submitting your life entirely to Yah. Folks, we spoke earlier about making Yah's enemies Yeshua's footstool. That requires you and me to take authority over the demons, to bind them, to cast them out, to send them where Yah wants them to go. We have to pray those prayers. We have to get free of the sin so we can get rid of the demons. You want to get to a point where you are so effective, so free of sin, and so effective of getting rid of demons that do come to light on you, that no demon wants to be anywhere near you because they know that if they come to you, they are in for a really rough ride. The same way you want satanic messengers, satanic angels, to not want to serve anywhere near you because they're going to end up in a dark place. You want the Satanists to stop cursing you because you return the curses a thousandfold. And they're scared of you. You want to become a powerhouse to serve Yah. That's what you're created to be. January 2011, I wrote an article, Highly Anointed Ones Also Make Mistakes and Sin, and this follows on from the previous point. One of the challenges that flow from a lack of understanding of the anointing is a belief that if a person is strongly anointed, they cannot have error. This is the same mistake that has people believe that the anointed ones who wrote the book or Bible or who are reported in the book never sinned and never made mistakes. Inspection of the book, the Bible, reveals otherwise. Moshe, Moses, struck the rock instead of speaking to it, despite clear instruction by Yah, and he was heavily penalized. King David committed adultery with Bathsheba. King Saul went completely off the rails. Noah got drunk and fell asleep naked where his son could see him. Paul, Shaul, went up to Jerusalem despite the fact that Yah repeatedly told him through other anointed ones, prophets, not to go. Folks, there is a tendency for people to worship their pastor, their priest, their rabbi, their imam. They see some level of Yah's hand on that person, and they think that because of that, they must be perfect. So they follow them slavishly without questioning. On the other hand, they get pride, and they get proud, and they believe that they have all truth, and they must be followed and obeyed. It's not true, folks. If you're an anointed one in this age, I don't care how many people you've raised from the dead. I don't care how many sick people that you've miraculously healed. You are still prone to error, and you should never, ever stop examining yourself and looking for sin and error in your life and praying the appropriate prayers. Same comments apply to the book, the Bible itself. Some of it, a small amount, is inspired, but there are errors, and nowhere does the book claim to be complete or without errors. Yet many anointed ones today believe the lie that the book is the inerrant word of God, and then underestimate their own anointing and devalue their calling by believing that somehow they cannot be up to the same standard as the anointed ones in the book. Just not true, folks. And then the people around them make the same mistake. And just because a person is highly anointed and doing major works, even works comparable to those of Yeshua, it does not mean that their every word is from Yah and is without error. So as before, I adjure you to seek truth, not error. Look for the truth that all those you meet have, and do not get fussed about the error. And just because a person has a deep relationship with Yah, performs mighty works through the Spirit of Yah, do not believe everything they tell you. Test it yourself. Pray about it yourself. Get on your knees. Remember, if you have truly believed through the covenant made by Yeshua and received an infilling of the set-apart Spirit of Yah, you also are an anointed one and have the Spirit of Yah to guide you to whatever extent you permitted Him to take control of your life. So you are responsible for your own walk and for hearing Yah in your own life and for corroborating what you hear and read from others with what Yah is saying to you. It's a huge privilege and a huge challenge to serve Yah and be one of His anointed ones. That is what you're here for, folks, to be an anointed believer, to seek truth, not error, to do mighty works in the service of the Almighty, to be blessed, to walk in divine health, divine protection, and so forth. So in the light of all that, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator right now? I would like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Him at this moment in time. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you are failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. You could pray right now if you felt so inclined. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I have realized that I am nowhere close to what I could be in my relationship with you. I choose this day to seek to become your friend. I ask you now to help me become your friend. I ask you to bring the people I need in my life in, take the people that you don't want in my life out. I ask you to open the doors you want open, close the doors you want closed. I ask you to speak to me in whatever way I'm able to hear, through books, tapes, websites, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, radio programs, people I meet in the street. Speak to me in whatever way I'm able to hear. Lead me to people who can help me draw close to you and help me to hear you. Help me to clean up my life. Help me to do everything that's possible so that I may come to the point where one of these days you call me your friend. Father, that is my desire, and I ask you for that today. Amen. In closing, there are five key documents on the website that I would encourage you to read if you haven't read them already. They're all main menu items on the website. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship, songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcast. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page, and they're physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, there's a huge amount of information. There's about 1,000 web pages, about 1,000 articles, covering all sorts of subjects. So if you've got questions, there may well be an answer to your question on that website. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's James, J-A-M-E-S, @endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, I hope that you found this broadcast interesting, challenging, and that you are thinking of ways to change your life. I really would like to hear from you. Father Yah is so lonely. Almost nobody is interested in him. Almost nobody talks to him as a friend. He's so lonely, folks. It's not right. We carry on in our own sweet way, and we ignore him. It's up to each one of us to change that, and I appeal to you today to change that. And I want to stress, it doesn't matter your race, your color, your creed, your tribe, your religion, your age, your gender, your education, your finances. Father wants to become your friend, and it's possible for you to become his friend no matter what. Good night. Father.